terrible falls have transpired. Let me be abundantly clear. I am not justifying one's failures or one's falling. I do not believe our humanity holds us captive to a concept of continual uncorrected failure. That's not what I'm saying. I do not for one moment believe that any continuation in willful sin is just attributed to our humanity and therefore it is acceptable to live therein. That's not what I'm talking. In fact, I find numerous scriptures that would negate that very notion. We don't continue in sin that grace may abound. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? I'm simply talking about we who walk this walk by faith, but sometimes stumble and fall. We who with this erroneous expectation of perfection find it very difficult to confess our faults one to another and to admit that we fall. We all know that we do. We all know that we make missteps. We all know that we've made mistakes. And none of us have been or will be perfect. But may I say this unto you, the understanding is simply this, that when I fall, I shall arise. Maybe you're here in the service and you feel this message it's not really for you, that you stand secure and confident and unshaken. And while I applaud you, I also caution you. For 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." In fact, Proverbs 24:16 tells us, "For a just man falleth seven times." See, I want to pay particular attention to the passage wherein I read, because the prophet Micah did not say, "If I fall." He did not say, "If I fall, then I shall arise." He said, "When I fall, I shall arise." It's not that falling is just possible, it is probable. I am going to make a mistake, especially in starting out, for those who are born again, for those who are just learning to live this life and walk this walk by faith. May I ask this, how many times does a toddler learning to walk have to be picked up from a fall? How many times, how bad would we be as parents is if in our toddlers trying to learn to walk, we would get mad and upset at them because they keep falling. No, we laugh and we giggle a little bit because it's funny, because they're trying to find their legs. They're trying to find their balance. They're trying to understand what's happening and how to operate in this new dimension. And so we very graciously and gingerly pick them up and set them back up. And sometimes we hold their little hands with our fingers and we try to get them to understand. Is it not true with our Heavenly Father? Does He not see us stumble and fall, and He doesn't rebuke us, and He doesn't come over and spank us and say, "Oh, you should be walking right by now"? Oh no, He gently lifts us up and holds us by the hand and say, "Here, let me help you navigate this." Might I say this, if I have been living for the Lord any length of time and I'm still falling very frequently, it reveals some spiritual immaturity in my life. There comes a point in time where I must grow up. I've got to put away childish things and I've got to learn how to walk. That doesn't mean I'm not going to fall. It doesn't mean I'm not going to mess up or make a mistake. But what it does mean is the falls should be a lot less frequent. The stumbles shouldn't be so many. I should learn how to walk. That doesn't mean I'm not going to mess up. That doesn't mean I'm not going to fall. It just means that when I grow up, I fall less often. But I still fall. I may have told you this a couple weeks ago. I was sitting in the office and I was doing some work and I thought I heard somebody at the door. And so I went to get up rather quickly and did not realize that my feet were kind of tangled underneath my chair. And this full-grown man at 37 years of age, face planted right behind the desk. I laid there for a moment and just chuckled. Thought to myself, "You idiot. You're 37 years of age and you just fell flat on your face. I'll just keep going. The other day I was on a job site. I was working and I was up on a little platform and I went to step off the platform and I stepped on a tool that was beneath me and I fell, and it wasn't a graceful fall either. Boom! I mean, I hit the carpet, and just so happens that one of the other guys who was on the job happened to be looking down from the second story. He goes, "You all right?" I said, "Yeah, I'm fine." He said, "Everything but your pride, right?" I said, "Yep." The reality is, even though we're adults, we still, how many of you haven't fallen since you've learned to walk? How many of you haven't stumbled or tripped over something? How many of you haven't stumbled in your natural life? Might I say this, it's no different in our spiritual life. Though we should be more spiritually mature, we do fall. But the reality is, when I'm older, when I fall, the more it hurts. Catch it. A child is resilient, man. They can fall. They can sprawl out. I got 3 kids. They fall all the time. Bumps, scrapes, bruises. And if I fell as often as they did, I might not be able to stand behind the pulpit this morning. Because as we get older, the falls seem to hurt a little bit more. It's the same thing in our spiritual psyche. As we grow up and we mature, but then we find that we've messed up or we've made a mistake, the fall seems to hurt a little bit more. It has a little bit more pain involved than it did when we first came to God and we first stumbled and we first fell. Now that we've grown up a little bit, when we fall, it seems to hurt a little bit more. And guess what? It's embarrassing. Especially if somebody else finds out, somebody else sees it. Hurts our pride. It hurts because we have this air of perfection about us that we don't fall anymore. But then the fall often has me contemplating what happened. Why did I fall? What did I do? What did I miss or not miss? What happened? What was in my way? What caused the stumbling block? Why did I fall? You see, a child doesn't really care. They just get back up. They're not really concerned why they fell or what. They just want to know, can I be better or can it be fixed or whatever. And as an adult, when we fall, we contemplate, why did I fall? What happened? What caused me to fall? Why did my feet get tangled underneath the chair and I face planted behind the desk? Why? Why were you sitting like that and then attempting to get up and just sprint towards the door? Why? See, often it is the fall as we grow up and mature. It is the fall that reveals a treacherous path that should be avoided in the future. An area we should not walk. A place we should not go. Certain avenues and certain channels and certain roads that we should never wander down. And we say, why? Because they caused me to fall. Because I went there. And though at first there was really no wrong intention, but I wandered away from where I should have been. And the way got treacherous. And the way that seemed right and okay unto me ended up causing me some destruction in my life. It ended up causing me to fall and make a fool of myself. And I became embarrassed. And so I'll know from now on. I've learned from my mistakes. I don't walk down that road. I don't venture down that avenue. I don't go down that road. Why? Because it results in a fall. And I don't want to fall anymore. I want to be able to walk right. See, the fall does something else as I grow up. The fall gives my detractors reason to ridicule me. And it gives my enemies reason to rejoice. It's always amazed me how that the fallen, those that have no conscience, if you will, those that have, they don't endeavor to live for God. They don't endeavor to live any semblance of righteousness in their life. They can commit all types of atrocities and do all sorts of stuff. And it's just like it's almost expected of them. And people don't care. And it's just like sometimes it's even promoted among them in promiscuity and all these things that the fallen do. And it's just like, well, that's what they do because they're fallen and because they have no desire to do right or live right. But you let someone who professes righteousness, you let someone who holds themselves as a Christian or someone who and they mess up. They make a mistake, and they fall, and they commit something just half as atrocious as some of the others, and all of a sudden it's heralded in the headlines. It's pointed out. Their mugshots placed all over the place. Why? Because there's a certain level of expectation that says they must be perfect, and they must. Please understand. I'm not justifying the wrongs. I'm not trying to say they're right. Yeah, we should endeavor with everything that is within us not to fall. But the reality is we do. We mess up. We make mistakes. We need to understand there are few things more celebrated by the enemy than our failures and our faults. There are few things that the devil delights in more than seeing one of God's children stumble and fall. He relishes the fact that we in our humanity, in our flesh, we fall. We make mistakes. We mess up. I draw your attention to a passage of Scripture. It's found in response to David's sin with Bathsheba. And Nathan the prophet comes to him and reveals to him that God knows what has happened and what has gone on. But then I draw your attention to one particular verse. It's in 2 Samuel 12:14. And this is what the prophet Nathan says in regards to David's fall with Bathsheba. He says in verse number 14, "Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme." David, the realm of darkness delights in your deed. David, don't you understand? Your fall has facilitated the enemy's enjoyment. It's given great occasion for celebration. They have seen you as God's chosen and God's anointed, and you have made a grave mistake, David. You have messed up and you have fallen, and you need to understand that the enemy delights in your fall. See, there's something that in serving for God, I don't want to give my enemy occasion. I don't want to give them reason to rejoice. And so I endeavor with everything. That doesn't mean I don't mess up and I don't make mistakes. But guess what? Enemy, know this. You can start rejoicing, but I'll guarantee you, you'll stop. Because when I fall, I shall arise. I ain't staying down. It will not be the end of me. I will not give up. I will not throw in the towel. I thank God for a man like David, who after God's own heart came and fell before the Lord and said, "Oh, purge me with hyssop, Lord. Don't let me walk this way again. Create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. Cast not my soul from me. Oh, don't let me venture down this path again. I don't want to give the enemy occasion to celebrate. I don't want to have them rejoicing over my wrongs anymore." See, celebration of the enemy, it commences at the fall. But it can only continue if I stay down. We'll say that again. Celebration commences by the enemy when I fall. But it can only continue if I stay down. Because the moment I start getting up, the moment I decide I'm not staying here, I may have tripped, I may have stumbled, I may have fallen, I may be embarrassed, I may realize I caused some collateral damage, but you need to understand, enemy, I will not stay where I am. I will not stay face down on this mat. I will not give you any more occasion to celebrate and rejoice, because you need to understand something. When I fall, I shall arise. See, too many give the enemy reason to continue rejoicing simply because they have yet to rise up. They've yet to get up from their fall. They have yet to realize, wait a second, I'm just like everybody else. I make mistakes. But the difference between a saint and a sinner is the saint who fell down but got up. Proverbs 24:16 says, "The just man falleth seven times," but it doesn't stop there. For the next part says, "But riseth up again." I'm only just. just when I decide I'm just not going to stay here. I'm just not going to be in this fallen place anymore. I'm not going to stay tripped up. I'm not going to stay down. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. There was anybody who epitomized a cycle of walking and falling. Walking and falling. The Bible says at times the Spirit moved upon him. There's anybody who, in my opinion, was the poster boy of he who falls. It was Samson. He would do a great deed and a great exploit. The Bible says he judged Israel. And then he would fall prey. He would fall in the arms of a woman that was not right. Samson up, down, in, out. The cycle of falling, the poster boy of he who falls. Many of us know the story well. Many of us have been taught it from Sunday school and what Samson did and how he continued to trip up. Continued to fall. He continued to make the wrong choices and make mistakes in his life. The sad note, it's found in Judges chapter 16, verse 21. When he finally reveals the source of his strength, when he finally gives in to Delilah's demands and tells her what it is that gives him his strength. He tells her it's consecration that made to God that I would not cut my hair. So if I were to be shaven, I would be as any other man. So he falls asleep. The connotation in the context, one would say that he's probably drunk and passed out. She calls in the Philistines, and the Bible says, but the Philistines took him, verse 21 of Judges 16, and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. It's interesting that Gaza was the place that not too long before they had laid in wait, tried to trap him, and Samson, under the strength of God, had taken the gates of the city from off the hinges and placed them upon his back and carried them away. Now, weak as any other man, stripped of his strength because he has fallen yet again, and it is a great fall. Now he's led down to Gaza. They have put out his eyes and they brought him down to Gaza and they bound him with fetters of brass and he did grind in the prison house. Once mighty man of Israel, one who did great deeds and troubled the Philistines, is now nothing more than a mule grinding in the prison house. The Bible says it's a great feast. The lords of the Philistines gather together and they want to have a celebration. They want to rejoice. And so what better way to rejoice than to bring out this fallen man? This trophy of theirs that they have. This man who was a mighty man of Israel but is now nothing more than a mule. And so they bring him out and the Bible says they begin to make sport of him. Mocking him. Ridiculing him. Wonder if maybe Samson thought to himself, good am I anymore? I've been stripped of my strength and my eyes have been put out. Here I stand as nothing more than a trophy of the enemy, poster boy of the fallen. Here I am. But I draw your attention back to our text, Micah 7 and 8. Not only does it say, when I fall, I shall arise. It says, when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. And though Samson could no longer see, catch this, he could still feel. Hey, boy, put my hands on the pillars. I can't see, but I can still feel. My eyes may have been dimmed by my mistakes, and I may have fallen, but I can still feel. So, hey, little lad, do me a favor. Just put my hands up on the pillars. And there's one verse of scripture that's found in Judges 16, verse 22, which gives me great hope, because it says this: howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Enemy, you're rejoicing, but you forgot. You neglected to keep removing my consecration. You neglected to understand the source of my strength began to grow again. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again. And as they brought him out and they begin to ridicule him and probably throw things at him and say, oh, look at Samson, the mighty man of Israel. He couldn't see anymore. He sat in darkness, but the Lord became a light unto him. And he said, hey boy, put my hands upon the pillars, because what they don't realize is that my hair has begun to grow again. And the source of my strength has returned. What surprise, what shock must have spread across the faces of the enemy as Samson bowed with all his might and began to press against the pillars, and all of a sudden shaking began to happen. All the ridicule and the mockery began to turn to, oh, wait a second, what's happening? I tell you what's happening. Somebody who has fallen is rising up again. When I fall, I shall arise. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. While I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Enemy, you may have scored a knockdown, but in the midst of your rejoicing, you failed to notice my reach for the ropes. You may have thought you had me, and then what you did was going to kill me, but what you neglected to realize is that you've only made me stronger, because when I fall, I shall arise. My strength comes from some other source. It's not in and of me and myself. It comes from the Lord. When I fall, I shall arise. I may have fallen, yes, but you can stop your rejoicing now, because I'm rising up. I'm getting up from this place where I've fallen. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. See, I've learned from my mistakes, and now what you meant for evil, enemy, God is using for good. Because the Bible tells me I am made an overcomer by the blood and the word of my testimony. And my testimony is, yes, I have fallen, but I didn't stay there. I've fallen, yes, I've made my share of mistakes, but it's not over. It's not over till God says it's over. And right now, he's still supporting me. He's still my strength. So rejoice not against me, oh, my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. You can get all your band members together, and you can start celebrating, and you begin to sing your song, because I've fallen. Well, let it commence if you want to, but I promise you it will not continue. Oh, because when I fall, I shall arise. It's not just possible, it's probable, but I'm not staying there. I will not stay down. I will not lay here in discouragement and disappointment. When I fall, I shall arise. Guess what? Regret the day, enemy. You're gonna regret the day you ever put the tambourine to your hand and begin to celebrate, thinking I was destroyed. You're gonna regret the day you ever started celebrating. You're gonna regret the day you ever started rejoicing. Why? I tell you why. Because when I fall, I shall arise. And when I get up, I'm gonna be better, faster, stronger, more spiritual. Rejoice not against me, oh my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. There's something I've come to know about my God. He gets glory by those who rise up. And the enemy gets to celebrate for just a moment, but when those who understand the Lord is the light of my salvation, the Lord is the one who will lift me up and set me up. He brought me up out of the miry clay where I fell. He set me on a solid rock to stay. What are you saying, preacher? Rejoice not against me. Oh, my enemy, when I fall, I shall arise. I'm getting back up. You go ahead, rejoicing, but you better not neglect to remember I'm reaching for the ropes. I'm going to get up and I'm going to be better than I was before. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Why don't you clap your hands on the Lord? Oh, enemy, your revelry will be short-lived because I'm rising up. I'm getting up from this place where I've fallen. I'm getting up from where I've tripped and stumbled. And now I'm going to walk better. And now I'm going to have better balance. And now I'm going to know what to avoid. When I fall, I shall arise.
Just you wait and see. Real times won't keep me down. They'll just send me to my knees. And there I'm in prayer. God will give me
peace. I'm getting up. I'm getting up. I won't stay down. I'm getting up. I'll be up again.
I'll be up again. Just you wait and see. Real times won't keep me down. They'll just send me to my knees.
But I've made mistakes, preacher. Yeah, so have I. But I didn't stay in the midst of my mistakes. I didn't stay in the midst of my failures. I didn't stay in the midst of my fall. I got up. And now I'm walking this walk by faith and not by sight. I'm walking this walk holding on to the hand of Jesus.
They'll just send me to my knees. And there while I'm in prayer, God will give the victory song. I'll be up again where I belong. Rejoice not against me, oh my enemy. When I fall,
strip me of my strength. It may have caused a lot of shame in my life, but how be it the hair of my head is beginning to grow again. I can still feel after God. I can still feel His presence. I'm going to be up again.
Just you wait and see. Rough times won't keep me down. They'll just send me to my knees. And there while I'm in prayer, God will give me victory. So up again where I belong. Down on the bottom, all friends are gone. Down on the bottom, I can't go on. Enemies surrounding me, laughing at my calamities, telling me that there's no way to reach up to the light of day. I'll be up again. Just you wait and see. Rough times won't keep me down. They'll just send me to my knees. And there while I'm in prayer, God will give the victory song. I'll be up again where I belong. I share.
it's a statement of faith.
Down, just let
I'll be up again.
My
when I fall, I shall arise.
I'm in prayer,
it's a promise.
I will give the victory.
It's a commitment I've made to keep getting up.
I'll be up again where I belong. Rejoice, not against me, oh my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. Rejoice, not against me, oh my enemy. In the darkest night, the Lord will be my light. I'll be up again, just you wait and see. Just send me to my knees, and there while I'm in prayer, God will give the victory song. I'll be up again where I
I would never want it to be that the enemy would celebrate the fall more than I celebrate the rising up. I'm going to say that again. I would never want it to be that the enemy would celebrate the fall more than I celebrate the rising up.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
I'm thankful.
Hallelujah.
I myself am one, and I'm surrounded by those that we live in celebration of the times when we rose up. I know we may have given the enemy occasion to celebrate, but they're no longer celebrating. Why? Because I got back up, and now I'm celebrating my decision not to stay down anymore. For when I fall, I shall arise. Hallelujah. One more time, why don't you lift your hands in the Lord if you're comfortable doing so. We thank you, Jesus, for your word, God. We thank you, Jesus. We're encouraging you, God. Let us celebrate the rising up, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When I fall, I shall arise.
Amen. Praise your name, Jesus.
God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. You may go in Jesus' name.